The holidays are upon us, and if you are trying to conceive, this episode is for you. I interviewed Sadie Ackerman, an integrative mental health consultant, all about navigating the complex emotions that can come up during the holidays. If you are feeling grief and anger seeing other pregnancy announcements, feeling devastated at the thought that you don't have a baby for the holidays, or you are navigating the various emotions that can arise during social and family gatherings, you do not want to miss this. Even if you aren't trying to conceive, the framework that Sadie shares with us is invaluable to all of us because we're all navigating relationships and feelings around the holidays. So without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. All right. I am so excited for the part two episode of Trying to Conceive During the Holidays with our special guest, Sadie Ackerman. She is a mental health consultant who specializes in integrative psychology and emotional well-being to help highly sensitive women navigate their sensitivities, family and romantic relationships, career trauma, and mood disorders. She's especially gifted at teaching others emotional intelligence, communication, and healthy relationship tools. And she happens to be my sister, but that has nothing to do with how amazing you are, which I mentioned before. And we chatted in a previous episode all about health tips and navigating lots of exposures and all the things that come with the holidays. In this episode, we're going to be talking about navigating emotions, which is really your expertise. And you're so good at this. I asked the question of what people are struggling with during the holidays. And a lot of people mentioned pregnancy announcements, seeing other people pregnant, thinking maybe they would have already had children during the holidays and dealing with the grief of that. So let's just dive in. And you can kind of share all of your wisdom with us about how someone can navigate these really challenging times.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's a really complex topic. So I would like to start at a high level, at a more generalized basic level, and then dive deeper and get more into the nitty gritty as I go.
Perfect.
So at a really high level, the experience of not having what you want, seeing other people have what you really want to have, feeling grief, feeling these really heavy, hard, and scary and hurtful emotions, all of that is really, really hard. It's sucky. It is not fun. It's a form of suffering. And there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And there is no joking about that. It's hard. And so I don't want anything that we talk about or that we say to not be acknowledging of that and not letting that be validated. Because, you know, we can sit here and talk about like, oh, it's fine. Like, you're going to get your dream someday. And like, these are some of the things that have really triggered me on my path. When people say like, it's going to be fine. Like, it's all going to work out. You're going to have everything that you want. Even though I know that's coming from a really beautiful intention and a really great space, I can appreciate that. And when you're in the midst of just downright suffering and pain and hurtful emotions, it doesn't feel very good to hear those things. Mm-hmm. So I'll get into some nitty gritty about like if you're experiencing that from people, but I'm still going to stay here high level for a moment about acknowledging the fact that this is a season of some pain. And in our society, we don't really talk about pain a lot. We don't really talk about suffering a lot, right? There's kind of a stigma around it or maybe a fear of going into it because it's uncomfortable and it's not fun to talk about. People are like, no, I don't want to talk about things that are hard or things that are scary. I would just rather numb it out or ignore that it's there or pretend that everything's fine or whatever it is that we do to avoid these hard conversations or these hard feelings. And I don't want to do that here because we need to acknowledge that what you're going through is very difficult. And it's okay that it's difficult and it's okay that you're in pain. It's okay that you're suffering. I say that a lot, like it's okay and permission because when we're fighting emotion or when we're fighting a certain experience, then we are resisting it, which then creates even more suffering. So having something that's painful and then trying to avoid it or ignore it or delete it or run away from it or pretend like it's not there adds 10 more pounds of suffering onto the suffering you're already experiencing. Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've learned on my path, which to get a little personal, I've had a very painful path. I've had a very hard experience of life in certain ways. And it's not, you know, I'm not trying to one up everybody or try to compare anything. We all have hardship. We all have certain seasons in our life or certain experiences that are really hard and painful. And my journey has been that over and over again. So to illustrate this experience of like seeing somebody have what you would like to have and how to handle that, I want to illustrate that with a little story. Okay. So once upon a time, there were two little girls, and these two little girls grew up together. They had the same parents, and one of them had a lot of love for her younger sister that came after her, obviously. And she felt like she wanted to give that little sister the world and to love on her and to be so great to her. That older sister ended up having a really, really great experience and perception of her childhood and of how her parents were. Even though they were the same exact parents that both sisters had, she had a really great experience of it. And she ended up going off into her life. And while she had some of her own pain and suffering, and she had experiences of sexual trauma, and she had, you know, a lot of issues later on to have to deal with in her own world, most of the time she got to have what she wanted. And she had a really beautiful husband and marriage and family life, and was able to navigate a lot of the hardship that she experienced and a lot of the good things that she had. The little sister in this story had a little bit of a different experience. Her perception of her childhood and of her parents was such that she wasn't loved. No one cared about her. She didn't get to have anything that she really wanted. She had to just sit and be quiet and not really get the full expression of who she was. That was not fully embraced. And so she grew up and on her path, having a lot of very challenging experiences, a lot of challenging relationships, and a lot of pain that was overshadowed by some of the good things in her life, because she had great things too. She had a lot of fun, and she had, you know, maybe not as much responsibility as the older sister, but her pain was very, very overshadowing of everything else good in her life. Mm-hmm. When those two sisters would ever get together, the younger sister was very jealous of the older sister. She was very angry towards her because she constantly got to see that older sister have things that she wanted, but that she couldn't have. She couldn't figure out how to get, and she never had them in her life. That bred this angry monster inside of her that was full of this vengeance and this sadness and grief and pain. And it was so deep, and it had grown so much inside of her that there were all of these monsters now living inside of her that often controlled her behavior and controlled her thought processes and her emotions. While the older sister didn't necessarily understand that, because that wasn't happening for her, even though she had her ups and downs and she had a lot of trials and tribulations to encounter and to grow through, her negative experiences were not overshadowing of her positive ones. So she had a much different mindset, which angered the younger one even more, because she was just able to handle stuff that the younger one couldn't. So as they continued to grow and progress, the younger one had to learn, and this is something that I'm bringing forward in this story to teach, like this is a teaching moment, okay? That younger sister had to learn that those angry monsters inside of her were not anybody else's fault, and they weren't her fault either, but they were her responsibility to be able to deal with and to be able to tame and to be able to eventually let go of. Okay. So when she was experiencing all of these monsters and how they were negatively impacting her, it was not the older sister's fault that she had all these monsters inside of her. it was the older sister that was a mirror to trigger the things inside of the younger sister to be able to work through and to be able to heal. Because think of these inner monsters as wounds or cuts that happened to her based off of maybe not getting certain needs met or not being able to be authentic, which again, not necessarily fault of anybody, because we're human beings, we're fallible, we're going to make mistakes. There are going to be people that have things that we want that we can't have yet. And there are going to be situations where we're hurt and we're upset and we're frustrated. That's just the human condition. The more that you can accept that, the less suffering you're going to have. So this little sister had to go on a journey to be able to learn how to handle these inner monsters. And some of the really big lessons that help some of these inner monsters to be tamed, or rather disappear and dissolve, were the fact that it's okay that we're different and that some people have things that we want that we don't have right now. That does not mean that we are not good enough. That does not mean that we do not deserve those things. That does not mean that we can't have them at some point. But accepting and being on your path, not envying or being jealous of somebody else's path, is going to help you stay in your lane and not externalize a lot of this anger or jealousy. Another big thing is recognizing that you have your own gifts and you have other things in your life to be grateful for. This little girl, or the sister that grew up, she realized that even though she had a lot of pain and she had a lot of struggle and a lot of experiences that, you know, she and others wished that she didn't have, she learned that that grew her to be a very mature and wise woman who had a lot of tools that other people didn't have. She had a lot of interesting and new and fresh perspectives because of what she had to go through. She also was able to help people because of the pain that she went through. So there was a lot of beautiful gifts that came out of the painful seasons. And while she was in those painful seasons, yes, it can be hard in those moments to like think about what you're grateful for. Obviously, that's like something that can be very triggering. Like, I know that you don't have what you have, but what are you grateful for? Right? It becomes an exercise, kind of like taking a cold plunge. That's not necessarily fun for anybody, but it's good for you to at least try doing. So stepping out of that comfort zone and getting distance from some of those monsters, right?
That's so good. I love
so
that.
As this inner development happens, then you start accepting more of your path and more of who you are and what your journey looks like, not compared to anyone else's. And if someone else's path, like the older sister, is a mirror for your own triggers, then that's going to invite you to look into, in what areas am I as a human able to learn and grow from this? What can I learn from this? How can I be better from this? These are questions that that little girl, that younger sister, had to ask herself. Big reveal, the story of these two sisters are sitting right here.
Exactly.
This is a story of me and Leah. And so Leah happens to be the older one, right? Mm-hmm. So these are things that I have had to learn along my path and along my journey. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pause there just because I talked quite a bit in that little diatribe, but I have more to say. I just want to get some reflections of that.
Yeah, I love that. And you're 100% correct in that it is hard for people to understand, even though I went through infertility, you know. And that I have my own experience of that. And if people are listening and they're trying to conceive and struggling with infertility, I have been there. So it's not like I have no experience, but I haven't experienced the pain and suffering to the level that you have. And so for anyone who is maybe going through infertility, or they're trying to conceive and they can't, and they see that their sister's getting pregnant, or their cousin or their friend, or the person who's not even healthy is pregnant again, you know, or, you know, you've been trying to get to have a baby for 5 years and your best friend's already had three or whatever, it can be challenging to remember that sometimes the person who has what you want doesn't understand and can't connect with what you're going through. But like you said, that's not their fault. And this is, everybody's journey is different and everyone does have their own struggles and tribulations. And it might seem, you know, that that person, and this might not even be helpful, but like that maybe that person is pregnant again, but maybe their relationship isn't as strong as yours, or there's other things, like you said, to look into your life and be grateful for. So what would you tell someone who is trying to conceive? It's the holidays. They thought that they would already have a baby. They have so much grief that it hasn't happened yet. And everyone around them seems to have babies dressed up in cute little outfits and, you know, their first Christmases. And like, what would you say to someone, given the story that you just presented with the monsters, like from a practical perspective, what would you say to someone of how to think, what to do, how to get support? You know, what would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, first off, I would say I can totally appreciate where you're coming from and that you're feeling the ways that you're feeling, because like I said in the very beginning of this recording, it's hard. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So there's that. And that, again, it's okay that you're feeling these ways. I would like to invite you to pinpoint what monsters are showing through for you in those moments. Are these monsters grief? And I don't want to use the label as monsters to make them seem bad or wrong, or that, you know, any other stories you want to make up about the label of monsters. I'm just using that as a way to explain this in simple terms. But grief is not wrong or bad, but is that something that's troubling you? Asking yourself, like pinpointing, what is really troubling me about this? Am I feeling grief about this? Am I feeling jealousy? Am I feeling envy? Am I feeling, what are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Right. We think that avoiding our feelings is the answer and that it's going to make us feel better. But I will tell you, that is not the answer. It's going to hurt your body. It's going to hurt everyone around you. It's going to hurt you mostly. Okay. Mm-hmm. So avoiding any of the feelings that you're having is not the answer. It is not the way. The way is always through. Okay. So let's say you're at a gathering and your cousin has, you know, this beautiful baby and she's so cute and you're like feeling a lot of feelings. In that moment, give yourself the permission to feel what you're feeling. You don't have to label it or intellectualize it in that moment. Take a break, walk out of the room. Go have a good cry if you need to. Go to your car and have some alone time. Let those feelings bubble up and come through you. Because moving through this experience of this season of your life where it might be challenging and hard, the way through it is through it. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So give yourself a break, walk out to your car, have a good cry. Even maybe write something down or let your body have its full expression of whatever feeling it is. If you're feeling anger and jealousy, go to your car and have a good scream. I've done that before. I've literally left parties feeling so triggered and so annoyed, actually realizing later on that I was very sad and grieving, but the anger came through first. And so I went to my car and I screamed and I pounded my steering wheel and I kicked my legs and I literally had a temper tantrum. And that then helped me remove a layer of emotion that then brought tears forth, which was my sadness and my grief. And then I had a good cry about it. And by the time that was over, I felt a little bit better. And I walked into the gathering. And even though there was still a heaviness in my heart about the situation that I was facing at that time, about the thing that I didn't have that I saw someone else having, you know, there was still a heaviness there, but I was willing to sit with it and to tolerate it. I was willing to say, you know what? Wow, I'm feeling a deep, deep heaviness and a deep sadness here. But that's okay right now. This is where I'm at right now. This is what's happening in my reality right now. And if I keep fighting it, it's going to make it worse.
That's so good. Oh, you're so wise. The wisdom of things like this only come from those who have been through a lot, like you have. And like you mentioned, you have gotten to a place where you can identify the gifts that the really challenging seasons of your life have given you. And I just want to say that they truly are a gift, especially when you share them in this way. And so many of us can benefit without having to go through everything you've been through and done all of the work that you have, because I will tell everyone listening that it is more than you could ever imagine what you have been through and what you have done to come out on the other side in a better place, which I would say can't be said for many people. Mm-hmm. I would say most people would not have the strength and the courage to get to the place that you have, let alone turn around and then help people with that. So I just really want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. That fills my heart up so much.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Did you know that stress impacts egg quality? Stress increases oxidative damage that negatively impacts your eggs. This is why it's important to really support your eggs no matter where you are along your fertility journey. I personally love Needed's egg support product. I helped design this formula, so I obviously love it, but even if I hadn't, it would be the one I would recommend to my patients and clients. This formula is an antioxidant and mitochondrial powerhouse that supports the oxidative damage that many things, including stress, can cause. It has key ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, PQQ, and ALA. I love pairing it with Needed's prenatal to get your essential nutrients, as well as their CoQ10 product. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER. Okay, back to the show.
It sounds like this is a really good framework. So whether it's on social media and you see another pregnancy announcement, or you're at a gathering and someone close to you, you know, has announced that they're pregnant, or maybe you see a pregnant woman in general or just a brand new baby, the first step is to, I just want to recount so that people can like really feel this. The first step is to acknowledge what they're feeling and not to try to stuff it. I know I used to try to stuff it at events when, you know, all of the people in my life were just constantly getting pregnant. And I remember feeling tears coming up in the grief, like getting caught in my throat and being like, not here, not here, not here, and shoving it down. What would have been better is if I had excused myself, gone to the bathroom, gone to a car and let it cry. Let myself cry. Let myself feel the anger. Having it move through me, the emotion move through me, and just get it out of my body. Because you know, well, and others maybe have picked up on this throughout our podcast, I'm not one who connects to my emotions as much as I should. And it does, it causes a lot of suffering for myself. And then for some people, it can be turned around onto a safe place, like a partner, when it's not necessarily their fault either, where if they don't feel safe to feel their feelings in the event or the gathering, then maybe the anger that is really grief underneath it can come out at your partner or at a mother or somebody, when that's not necessarily helpful because that person didn't do anything to necessarily deserve that emotion from you. Mm-hmm. So I think taking responsibility, like you said, it's not anyone else's fault that your path is different than someone else's when it feels unfair and horrible, but that is your responsibility to deal with your monsters or your emotions and your feelings about the experience. So I think that's amazing. So identify what's going on, excuse yourself, get to a place where you can actually have the emotion move through you. And then what after that?
After that, it depends. It's kind of a tributary from the source of what to do, if you will. Mm-hmm. So if you end up feeling lighter and better after letting your body express, perfect. Then kind of like me in my example of that party, I was able to then re-engage in the gathering, noticing that I was still feeling a heaviness, but feeling a little bit more capable of accepting the heaviness. Okay. So mm-hmm. there's that possibility. If you don't feel better after letting the body express, or if you can't express, if your body, if you haven't conditioned yourself or given yourself the time and space to feel your feelings, that's going to be something I'll invite you to start experimenting with and trying. It's not only healthy for these circumstances we're talking about, but for the rest of your parenthood life or the rest of your life in general, mm-hmm. having the ability to let your body be connected to that expression and letting it move through you is going to be really, really important. Emotion is energy in motion. So if you stuff emotion, you're stuffing energy inside of your body. That's mm-hmm. why a lot of people might gain weight when they have a traumatic experience or when they want to turn towards food, because the energy that gets inside of your body through emotion that doesn't have the opportunity to move out of your body then gets stuck. And mm-hmm. then that's how disease gets caused in our body a lot of times too, not in all cases, but that energy that gets into your body needs to come out somehow. So whether that's you going and working out, or, you know, having a walk or something gentle, like a yoga stretching exercise, even just stretching in your hips can help start releasing some emotion.
Mm-hmm.
If your body's not willing to release emotion, then do physical movement to provoke the movement of the emotion out of your body. Cool. Mm-hmm. So once you kind of figure that step out, then more often than not, you're going to feel better and lighter after expressing. Something that I enjoy doing is asking myself, once I'm on that lighter frame of mind and lighter place, then I will write down, or I'll talk to somebody about it and process out loud, again, mm-hmm. writing or talking about what that experience felt like. It's mm-hmm. kind of like doing a review, like how, you know, sportscasters or whatever will do a review of the game mm-hmm. and like talk about the exciting things or the non-exciting things and have a plan or have an expectation of what's going to move on in the future. Mm-hmm. It can sometimes be really helpful to do like a review of your feelings and mm-hmm. get more clear on like, what did this experience teach me? One of my most helpful questions after I've gone through a whole emotional process, which again, this is actually something that I've coined called emotional digestion.
Mm.
It's inside of my course. We talked about that in the previous episode, but it's part of my highly sensitive person course. It helps you learn how to digest your emotions and what to do in the aftermath, right? Because like I said, emotions are energy, and just like we eat food, our body has a digestive system that it needs to break down the food and then excrete it. Our emotions are the same. They're just another source of energy that comes into the body. And mm-hmm. we don't have an automatic system to digest those emotions and excrete the ones that aren't useful. So the emotional digestion process is that implemented into your body that you then create. And it helps you break down the emotions, take what's nutritious, what's mm-hmm. valuable from that emotional experience, because all emotions are valuable. They're valid and valuable. And then it helps you excrete the emotions that aren't helpful for you and the results of those emotions that are waste products, if you will, just like pooping.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so cool.
So in the process of once your body's felt the emotions, hopefully you've released some of the excretion products from those experiences, then doing this little review of asking yourself these questions of, what is there to learn for me here? How can I support myself next time? What's the best way for me to move forward? Can I accept that I'm in this place just a little bit more now? And in that emotional digestion process, I have a whole lot of, you know, journaling prompts and questions and mm-hmm. ways to support yourself. But the biggest takeaway from that is getting to the place where you can ask yourself, what am I learning? Mm-hmm. Honestly, the way that I've been able to move through my path and all of my pain and suffering has been to figure out at the end of it, what is there to learn here? Even if mm-hmm. I'm not through the stickiest and ickiest parts, the best that I can, I keep going and I keep asking myself, what can I learn here? What am I learning here? Who's teaching me this? And what am I being asked to learn? That nugget and taking a learning and preserving a learning is actually how I do unconscious release work with people too, because when mm-hmm. we learn something, it can take the place of the baggage or the negative emotion that it once held.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. It's so helpful. I just feel like no one learns how to deal with emotions. It's so silly. I mean, we just don't learn anything. So we've talked about what to do in the moment when you've been triggered, when you've had issues. I know for a lot of people, the holidays can be really triggering because you are around other family members. It brings up baggage, it brings up all sorts of stuff. So even outside of trying to conceive and the anticipation of having issues around the holidays, is there anything that people can do ahead of time, not in the moment when a trigger comes up, but just ahead of time of dealing with past thoughts, feelings, emotions, or maybe processing that they haven't done thus far? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I was talking about previously about having a recovery strategy, you can create like a proactive strategy. So being around the holidays, yes, you're going to be around family more likely than not. And they can be some of the most triggering people in your life. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have awareness around that yet, please let this be the place where you learn that family is meant to trigger you. They're meant to be really hard to learn from and to coexist with and all the things. If you have a perfect family, I'm very happy for you. And for most people, that's not their reality.
Mm-hmm.
So just acknowledging that, that that's okay, that, that all people in your family are going to have an impact on you, and going into situations with them, having that forethought of knowing and recognizing like, okay, I know that mom does this thing that's really upsetting to me, and I'm going to have a strategy to deal with it this time. And so coming up with a strategy for it, right? Like, I'll give you a specific example. My mom, God bless her heart, I love her to death. And sometimes she has been very triggering to me in the past with certain behaviors that she does. One specific behavior is when she's just hounding me with questions over and over and over again. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I need to take a break from being asked so many questions about everything. And so I've proactively had conversations with her and making a request where I say, Mom, I love it so much that you're so interested in my life and everything that's happening and what I'm doing. And sometimes the questions are making me feel like I'm being interrogated. And that sometimes feels like really frightening for me, like I'm trapped and that I can't get out and really pressured. So I'm wondering if it would be okay with you if we had more of a dialogue where it wasn't necessarily you drilling me with questions, but that we could just exist together and talk in not an interview type of format, but just as people, right? And you know, how would you feel about that? Does that feel possible for you?
Mm-hmm.
So having a conversation like that. And, you know, learning about your own stuff before you go out anywhere can be really, really helpful and valuable. So, you know, knowing yourself enough to where you're able to say, yeah, I go here and this can be really upsetting to me. What's my strategy for handling that? Like I worked with a client once and she was going to a wedding and it was she knew ahead of time, it was probably going to be very triggering for her to go to this wedding. It was her younger brother getting married and she was just having a lot of emotions about it. So we mm-hmm. put together an entire plan and a strategy for her dealing with staying in the house with all the family members, her choosing a location that was going to be safe for her, like her safe place where mm-hmm. she could always go to, where there wouldn't be anybody disturbing her, where she could clear her mind, clear her energy, take a break if she needed to. She's a highly sensitive woman and would get overwhelmed by crowds and people and the family. Mm-hmm. And so we had a whole strategy set up of how to support her, where specifically she could go, the location that would feel safe to her, how to set up that space to feel good for her, and all the other things that were necessary to support her. So it sounds a lot more complex and involved than maybe it should, but having a plan ahead of time can be really supportive for your nervous system. Again, think about all of these things as being just supportive to your nervous system.
Oh, that's so great. So you do so much work with people getting to the subconscious, and I just want to leave people with letting them know that there is work that people can do with practitioners like you as well to help them process and go through things that's not even just talk therapy. Can you just speak briefly about what you do and where and what someone could find, you know, a practitioner, you or someone like you, just giving them an idea that that even exists, that they can get support in that way?
Absolutely. Yeah. The traditional therapist model, while I have great respect for that, and it can be very helpful in many ways, it can sometimes be slow and take a lot of time. If it's just talk therapy, then the biggest benefit that you're getting is like externally processing, which is great, but some people aren't external processors. So the type of work that I do is very different. And there are a lot of people out there like me. I'm specialized in neuro-linguistic programming and integrative psychology, where we see that the spirit, the mind, the emotions, and the body are all interconnected. So mm-hmm. we're a being with multiple complex layers. And to get to the root of issues, we really have to do, like you said, unconscious mind work. So I do processes that help people go through their childhood experiences along their timeline and going to back to events that they might not even be consciously aware of, but when they're, you know, deeper into a state of relaxation, it's not hypnosis. We can do hypnosis, but this type of form that I'm talking about specifically is just a deep relaxation. We go back to past events. We do healing along a timeline. And there's also aspects to our personality where we might get fragmented, or we might get parts of ourselves along these experiences throughout our lives. So it might be passed down to you generationally that you have, you know, a tendency to express anger or to have a lot of grief or, you know, to feel sadness or fear. Fear is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back to certain experiences, whether it's past generations or if it's in your belief system into past lives, and figuring out like, what is the root cause of why these things are happening and releasing them. And speaking to the fragment part of us, we can sometimes lose pieces of ourselves. So I do a process called soul surgery, where we're collecting the pieces of you that maybe you've given away unconsciously to others, or that they've taken from you in traumatic events. Mm-hmm. And we go and collect those pieces so that you're a more whole and integrated person and being. So there's a lot more to like healing from a spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical perspective than just talking through your problems. Again, yeah, that can be very helpful, but actually going in there and doing some work with energy and with your mind and doing NLP exercises to either reframe or to help your perspective shift and change how you see things, that then influencing your emotions and helping you process through releasing emotion. That's something that not a lot of us realize is a thing, that like, right, you can release emotion. You don't have to have an emotion be in your life and be stuck forever. If you're feeling grief, you don't have to be plagued by that forever. Like, it's, right, we can release it. That's a thing. An emotion is something you can have and that you can get rid of.
I love that. And like that. I just want to share, the work that you do is amazing. And for me, along my infertility journey, doing work like this with you and others was probably one of the most influential things on my whole life, and why I can sit here and talk about my infertility journey, why I have no triggers around things, you know, and I got to a really good place even before we had our baby because of that. And I'm still working on it. Like, with my upcoming embryo transfer happening, I had a lot of fear about losing the baby because I had taken on a bunch of stuff from clients who had miscarriages and all of these. You know, there's so many layers. I've done so much work already, but more layers have come up, and I've done work on releasing that subconscious stuff, the stuff that's not mine, the things that are in me that are inducing fear and all of these things. And it's like, you do the work like you're doing, and you release it from your subconscious, and it's just not there anymore. And I think that it's so powerful. So for anyone who's struggling with emotions around trying to conceive, around the holidays, around any time, around anything, even triggers with family, working with someone like Sadie was honestly probably the most valuable thing that you can do for your self-healing, for preparation for your pregnancy, for preparation for parenthood, for just your life in general. And so I just want to say thank you for the work you do. And I'm just so stoked that you exist in the world.
Thank you. Well, that's a huge compliment. I really receive that. And I obviously deeply, deeply respect your journey. And I've seen you go through a lot of the phases and everything that you've gone through. And I just deeply honor you and respect you. Like, there's been a lot that you've had to face, and a lot of very scary moments and triggering events and things that I wish nobody would have to experience. And you've navigated it so gracefully and so beautifully. And you're constantly the one that's seeking out new great things. So I'm so glad that she's, you know, leading your podcast, because she's amazing. You're amazing. And, you know, most good things that have come into my life have been because of you. It's really funny how that
works.
I
love that. Well, this has been such an amazing episode and much anticipated. I think people really need this support right now. So where can people find you? Tell us all the things.
Yeah. So caveat, I am on social media, but kind of not, because like, I have a love-hate relationship with it. I'm a highly sensitive person. And so I just know myself, and I can thrive on it sometimes, and other times it's just not for me. So I do have a very, very minor presence. You can like look up some things about me, but you probably won't be able to find a lot. On Instagram and TikTok, I'm the Savvy Sensitive. And there's some cool stuff on there, but not a lot. And then I have a website. I have two websites. The one is the program at thesavvysensitive.com. And that's Savvy spelled with two V's, S-A-V-V-Y. And the other one is sadieackerman.com. So
awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. And we'll put the links to your course and your website and the support if people want to work with you in the show notes. So definitely check that out. And thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.